I know that there was some discussion on the preparation of the financial statement, so we'd like to isolate that. Who's going to take responsibility over the preparing those? And then once the financial statements are drafted and reviewed, we would then discuss with management the go over the financial statements as well as any management comments. Obviously, I think as we talked about previously, any comments that come up during the audit process, we would bring up immediately. We wouldn't wait until this point to go over them. So we want to try to make sure all our facts are straight before we rise up to the level of communicating. Then once the audit and the financial statements are complete, we would close do a closing meeting with the audit committee to discuss the financial statements and any significant matters that arose at that time. And then the final audit due date we anticipate would be August. Obviously, if there's things that come up during the year, if that time frame is going to be extended, we would communicate that to you previous to August.
Can I pause you for one second just to ask a couple questions? And I don't know, I don't want to take us down a total alternate path to your presentation, but just it is on the issue of timing. Given some of, you referenced the challenges that the county's facing, is it reasonable or do you think you may need additional time to deal with this? Or are you planning on starting any earlier? Or are you just, is this your normal time frame?
This would be the time frame that we have scheduled to complete the audit. I think that when we communicate the request list, and if there's concerns in preparing the request list or if there's certain schedules that aren't prepared yet, then we would want to have a discussion at that point. Because we'd want all the audit schedules to be prepared and ready to go and to be audited day one. Sometimes there's some lag with that. There might be a learning curve if there's different people, and we try to work with those individuals.
Okay. And again, I don't know if this is the time for this, but it recently was announced that we missed our annual deadline for our 2022 annual update document. My understanding is that OSC does not explicitly state that there are consequences for that, but I'm wondering if you are aware of any consequences or you have any concerns in relation to the delay.
There's no consequences to it. You probably already received the letter that just basically goes to the board that says you're late with filing it. If you became chronic or if you were probably over a year behind, which you won't be, the state would start to kind of publish that a little bit, and it's more of an embarrassment in the beginning.
Okay.
If you're, again, a chronic abuser, you know, then they take a little more action, which is really, you know, you don't want to say it, but it's kind of toothless. But they can make your life a little miserable, saying they're going to hold up state aid, items like that.
Okay.
But I've never seen you get to that point.
Okay, that's good.
I have a client that's 3 years behind, right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Man.
Yes.
So we are active in, so I'm Deputy County Executive. I also oversee our finance department, so within the next 2 weeks, we are bringing on new staff that have expertise in this area and preparing and also auditing. So we are confident that we'll have a better baseline to run from. We're also pursuing on a concurrent track outside consultants that we may also contract with them in short order to kind of double up. I'm talking certainly weeks, not long months, because we don't want to be negligent here either. But you know, that's it. That is our timeline, is not to hold anyone else up.
I think we really want to be as big of a part as we can in helping prepare the information. So if any of the requests, if there's questions around it or not sure how to prepare what we're looking for, definitely let's have a communication about it early on before we start the field work so we can work together on that.
Appreciate that. Absolutely.
Because even the preparation of financial statements is something we usually do.
Okay.
You know, so that's not unusual for us to prepare financial statements, because we go through the yellow book and make sure that basically you have the skill, knowledge, and education that you can prepare it yourself and that you understand what we do, and therefore we can assist you in the preparation. So that's not a real problem either.
No.
Staying with the planning mode, who is our point of contact? because usually we send out a planning list to the treasurer, the commissioner of finance, of the documents and if the items we're going to use, need. Who is our point person?
So
internally, it's Clark Feaster. Are you asking who your point person is in finance?
Well, who would you? I know we work for the legislature. Mm-hmm. Who do we send our document request list
yeah,
to?
Yeah, that would normally go to Clark Feaster, correct?
And then you send
yeah,
it down.
Yeah, and then we send it down. Yeah.
So all of our all of our correspondence should go through you in the beginning. I'm assuming that during the course of the audit, as we're speaking to somebody in finance, we can direct the question, if we have a follow-up question, to them CCing you. Or do you want everything to go to you originally, and you determine who it goes to? We just need to know the procedure.
And what in the past, it's gone to you, and then forward, or is a CC acceptable?
A CC is acceptable.
Okay.
The initial request goes. Any initial request goes through you. Mm-hmm. If it's a follow-up to that request, like just clarification of a point where we ask a question, we'll ask the question, but make sure you're copied in at all.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we want to keep this moving so that you're not hindered in terms of, you know, having to take multiple steps to get to an answer that may in fact be simple. But we certainly like to be kept in the loop through Clark Feaster, just that way we're aware.
Most of the time at the county level, we do deal through the legislative fiscal person because they're your eyes and ears.
Yes.
But when you get to the town and a village level, you know, usually it's the treasurer because they don't have anybody.
Right.
So that's
exactly.
Where we just like to clear it up in the beginning is the who.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and move on to page 2. So as part of our planned audit scope and our approach, we're required to assess the risk of any audit engagement. So two of those significant risks that we've identified that are generally true on almost all municipalities is going to be improper revenue recognition due to fraud. That is something that is an inherent risk. Usually it is it's a risk that's hard to overcome. And then the second one would be management override of internal controls over financial reporting. These are risks, but we do take certain procedures to overcome these risks by looking at your controls, testing those controls, etc. We've also identified significant audit areas that are listed here. So we will be not only testing controls in these significant audit areas, but also, again, testing year-end balances. We do some analytic procedures as well. And then in light of obviously everything going on, we would lower those scopes accordingly to identify anything that is missing. And then our audit focus also is on some interviews. So we do some fraud risk interviews. We like to interview a couple of people in different departments, and it's just around what they feel is the risk within the organization. So we would identify a few folks at that, as well as somebody on the committee. We also send out related party inquiries. Generally, it would be a communication to those charged with governance, as well as we would either send out questionnaires or we would work with Amber to identify the related associations of the those charged with governance. So the employers, seeing if there's any transactions between it, those charged with governance, then the county. And then this year, we have to implement a new GASB. So it's called GASB 87, and that's regarding the leases. So if the county has any leases where the county is a lessee or a lessor, we're now required to record that on the financial statements. So that's something that we want to make sure that we work with you all and then with finance to go over exactly what leases the county has and then go through the process of valuing those.
Is there a preferred format that you would want would it be helpful to just get you a list? Can we do that of all existing leases?
Yeah, it's a kind of a step-by-step process. So the first step would be to get a list of all of the leases that the county has. Mm-hmm. Then we have to go through and analyze each lease. Is it long-term? Because we'd only really consider the long-term ones. And then we'd read through the contract, see what the term is, and then present value, do the present value calculation at that point.
So you would need not just, you begin with a list, but you also will need to see all the contracts.
Yes.
What is the what's the cutoff when you say you're only interested in the long term?
Yeah, so it'd be 1 year. We usually start, so it's implemented 1/1/22.
Yep.
So anything 1 year beyond 12/31/22.
Okay. All right, so that's would be good. Yes.
Just a quick question about the auditors. Would it be appropriate to add ARPA as an audit area, even though I know it's these are sort of broad scopes of like.
We look at ARPA anyway because it would be subject to single audit if you expended any of the money.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a county your size received a significant amount.
Okay.
And it's great. Probably right now hung out on your balance sheet as unearned revenue.
Correct.
So we would look to make sure that if there was any, again, depending on when you received ARPA, mm-hmm. how you received it, if the legislature, you know, put it into a certain bucket, mm-hmm. to use the example, mm-hmm. and it can only be used by resolution, mm-hmm. we would look for those resolutions to see if it was moved out.
Got it.
Okay.
Well, that'll
you
be
hate
interesting.
Those buckets.
You hit a nerve.
We're talking buckets.
Okay. We'll find a new word.
But that's right. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, so again, if you spend money on certain things, we look for the resolutions authorizing the expenditure, the use of the federal funds. And items like that.
Thank you.
So page 3 just has some responsibilities that we have, issuing an opinion, planning and performing the audit in accordance with professional standards. We do consider internal controls, as I mentioned before. We will review those. For the single audit purposes, we'll test them more in depth. Any misstatements that were identified as part of our audit, again, we will bring those up immediately through finance and Amber as well, just to identify and make sure that we're correct and have a full understanding. We do have professional skepticism as part of our audit. And then any significant matters, like we said, management comments, any fraud or legal act would be brought up right away. And then anything sensitive as far as estimates we would consider.
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
Do you look at comments that did you do the audit last year?
No.
Do you look at the previous year audit and look at comments and see if
yes.
those comments have been addressed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We look at all of the management letter comments issued. We talk to the department and see if they've been resolved and test it to make sure that it's been resolved. So we don't just
Great.
Take the word.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask, in terms of the fraud risk interviews, what informs who you're choosing to interview?
So we do it on a random basis. We like to usually have a couple people in the department. We do like to do one person on the committee, and sometimes we will rotate them from year to year, so they won't be the same.
Okay.
And do you do actual random polls? Like you just go in and like pull documents and say, I want to take a look at this, or I want to take a look at that?
Most everything is a random sample, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. So on page 4, this identifies what management and those charged with governance is also responsible for. So just making sure that the financial statements are fairly presented with the accounting policies, maintaining internal control, just complying with all your laws and regulations, and just making sure that there's a proper tone at the top, which I think is probably the most important. On page 5, is the summary of GASB 87. So if you wanted to read up on it, it identifies a little bit about the lessee side and the lessor side. But again, we would work with you to go over those leases.
Is this accountant bedtime reading?
Yeah.
It helps you fall asleep.
It's a short summary of a multi-page document. Then we just provide something here about us, and then we do have just a summary, and I'm sorry, Amber, I'll go ahead and change this. We do have a summary of the items that we're requesting here. I will provide this to you. I haven't provided it yet, so I'll provide it to you. Usually I like to put it in an Excel file that has, like, dates received.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, what I like to do as well is to meet regularly throughout the time that we're here as a group to make sure that we're on track. It's so easy to fall behind with a large audit like this, so we really want to make sure we're on meeting our timelines.
And when you talk about meeting regularly, do you mean with the whole committee, or no?
No, it would
with
be with
Clerk Buster.
Yes.
Okay.
unless you had a concern where you wanted us to be with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Capital Projects Fund.
You know, just looking over the audit planning and some of the schedules that you're going to be requesting, we would love to get a copy of these schedules. You can imagine it. In the past, it's been difficult to obtain things from the finance department, and to the extent that these are going to be provided to the external auditor, we would like to get a copy on the on their way over. Yeah.
Okay. You're actually just literally requesting a copy of what's being sent.
Yeah. I mean, I can identify in this mm-hmm. list what is a priority for us, but yeah.
Okay. Are you still? Have you asked for these recently and haven't gotten them, or?
With capital projects, absolutely.
Yeah, there are some.
There are a few things you've asked for in this list.
And I think honestly, like given the interim commissioner of finance is trying to get his arms around the whole thing, we totally understand that those requests have been, you know, he's working towards them, or you know, there's other things that are a priority. But to the extent that they are being prepared for the external auditors, we'd like to have them internally. Yeah. It seems like it's an opportunity to really save the finance department extra work, because then we're not going to be going back and asking the same question a few months from now.
That's noted. Can you make sure that you note that? Legislator Criswell?
Will the draft be presented to us? Will the draft be presented to us, and then we have a chance to comment on it before it's finalized?
Yes.
So, like, in a whole roundtable meeting.
Okay. Good. Yeah, well, we like to come in with a little presentation. We talk about your main operating funds. We talk about, you know, your fund balance, your position, how you did budget to actual. We kind of review some of the analytics that we've seen and, you know, go through the footnotes with you, because, again, every financial statement is a little different. So our layout, you know, if we do it, might be different than what you're used to. So, you know, we'd like to review all that with you.
Sounds great. Thank
you. In advance.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, I just had one more. Any upfront anticipated areas of concern that you have right now?
Probably, given the situation with finance, we understand that you're probably conducting your own internal reviews on the situation. So if there are any reports, we kind of need them shared with us also before we can issue, in case there's something that we didn't see in our testing, because I'm assuming you're a little more in-depth.
So currently we have the Office of State Comptroller conducting a forensic audit with their criminal team.
Okay.
So a lot of the areas that you're probably be touching will still be under audit from them.
Right.
So I think at some point it's probably an introduction and a discussion between you guys and them. I mean, I don't have to be there. They're doing it you know.
Yeah. Their report wouldn't be issued by the time ours would be, but I'm assuming that some of your findings might be available that we could look at.
Yeah, happy to share those. Yeah.
And obviously not keep them.
No, but we welcome the opportunity.
And if we could expedite that introduction.
Oh, that's easy.
And just to keep us in the loop that it's happening. And again, any questions or concerns that you have functionally as it goes through, if you could direct them to Clerk Feaster, and then she'll let me know, or the executive team, who's ever appropriate, just so that we're all in the loop. We want to make sure that you're getting everything you need. So,
I mean, based on what transpired, you know, when we're thinking of, you're kind of brainstorming some of the areas that we would like to have seen. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully, the state controller or you have contacted your banks, asked for the transaction reports based on cash, so you can do an analytic on year-to-year cash that was deposited, so you can see if there's any variances over the years. Things like that on a very high level from our point of view. You know, hopefully, you know, somebody's done some of that groundwork already. And then based on the last conversation we had, you ran some journal entries, right?
Yeah, so Amber was able to provide us with journal entries. So just a background, I guess, for our audit procedures, we really have to get assurance on the balances before we can issue final. So obviously, in light of recent events, we have to do additional procedures in order to feel comfortable on that. So we did go through the journal entries that Bert had done, and just to identify if there's anything unusual. And there were about, so one thing we find unusual is any journal entries posted on the weekend. Generally, we wouldn't expect that. So there were about 117 entries that were posted on Saturday and Sunday. Most of them were budgetary entries. 112, 40 were encumbrance entries, and there were 25 that were actual general ledger entries. Those are actual transactions happening. So we will be going and diving deeper into the 25 to identify what exactly those are, get the backup for that, make sure that it's appropriate based on everything. So we will be doing that. We'll also be comparing the vendor addresses to Bert's address just to make sure that nothing unusual is happening there, as well as reviewing the vendor changes and the address. So I'm hoping that there's a vendor change report. Usually that's all documented, so we would go through that as well.
It's called the vendor audit report.
Okay, right. Thank you.
I guess one of the questions I had when you provided us the list, it appears Bert made an unusually large number of entries himself. Is it possible that the system is just using his name and it's not an individual? No, he did everything?
Both are true.
You think that it's true that somebody else...
There are some system-generated entries that look like his name, but he also entered, posted, and approved journal entries on his own.
My knowledge, he did enter a lot.
The reason I ask is because one of the entries I did see was a loading of the budget, mm-hmm. and everything was under his name. That's usually an automated function. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go through line by line to load the budget.
No, it's you're pushing a button, and then it's rolling it from level to level, so yes.
Because I used to have his position at a county, and
I
showed up under my name that I didn't have anything to do with.
Okay.
He also made, I would say, you know, he bore a lot of the responsibility himself and did not delegate.
Yeah, so I'd concur with that.
I don't know which report you were looking at, but I think there is a functionality that you can see. It'll say system generated, so that you can...
Almost everything on that thing says system generated.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think most of them are. I think they should...
Yeah, we started looking at the type of transaction, what it was doing, mm-hmm. and narrowing it down, and that's, you know, and then the Saturday and Sunday item that the list came up with.
That's interesting. Have you seen, the idea to look at a Saturday-Sunday... option, is that something that you've seen in other counties that got you to think to look at it? It's an interesting angle.
Yeah, usually, I mean, it is something that we would consider as being unusual. Government employees are generally mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. As a commissioner, you would probably work more towards like those deadline days when reports are due or closing, so you would expect maybe that.
Right.
So we do have like a date associated with it as well, so we wanted to make sure. But any time, especially in a situation like this, we'd want to be more cautious than anything.
Are there any other questions at the moment?
I just had one other small question, but when we eventually sort of get to the other side of this in terms of clarifying for the public what happened, will you attach your name to some sort of a release with us saying you've officially audited and these were your findings or that type of thing?
No.
Okay.
You like that quick answer?
Well, I wanted to know.
What we do is, in our report, is the opinion letter.
Okay.
And as we like to say, those 3 or 4 pages, the only pages we own in the whole report. Mm-hmm. And that opinion either gives you a clean opinion, a modified opinion, or whatever. And that's without having done more direct work, we wouldn't be able to issue any kind of opinion on the other situation.
I appreciate that.
You may not have what you want by the end of this audit. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Full mm-hmm. clarity mm-hmm. on...
Okay.
Yeah. Just because things take a long time. Yeah. And there's going to be things that we won't be able to tell, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I just also want to note, in terms of new business, that O'Connor Davies has completed the external audit of Ulster County's Tobacco Asset Securitization Corporation, which was delivered in hard copy, but you can also find it on the OneDrive. Along with the financial statements and the schedule of cash and investments. Those are on the OneDrive as well.
Okay. And you will notice a little change on that one, too.
Okay.
We had the conversation with Amber about how it's being treated. Because of the structure of a tobacco corporation, as you know, when you entered into that agreement, one of the reasons behind it was legally that debt is separate. In the past, you've kind of blended that debt. So we're showing it as not a blended component unit. We don't think it should have been blended because, you know, whenever you blend something in your financial statement, you're opening yourself up, I think, to, you know, exposure. So we talked to Amber, we talked to Adam, everybody agreed with it, and so we made it not a blended component unit so that you can keep that line between yourself and that debt.
Okay.
All right, so that was just a little unique approach that we have to test.
Thank you for highlighting that. And that
990 file?
I don't believe a 990 is required for a task.
It isn't?
I don't think so. It's not an authority for that. It's,
I think we had had an issue in the past for a failure to file.
We've never seen an I used to be chairman of the Tobacco Corporation. I've never seen one.
I'll look into what we have.
Yeah.
I think we had received a letter at some point for a failure to file.
I think it was a pretty test.
Could it have been from the authorities board where maybe they hadn't uploaded all the policies?
Well, we had lost tax exemption status on something for a failure to file a 990.
That would probably be one of the IDAs or the LDCs. Or
I don't think it was DC.
But I've never seen a task file 990.
You raising this issue is reminding me, and I don't know, Amber, you may be able to clarify this. I feel like we've had an ongoing debate about soil and water, whether or not it's a component unit of the county. Where did we land on that? Did we continue to be in disagreement with the previous auditors?
With the previous auditors, we continued to be in disagreement. And this past week, or last week, I forwarded over the prior auditor's checklist for that decision to O'Connor Davies.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
So I have the previous auditor's checklist, so we're going to go through this. We have PPC guidelines were required to follow, so they have checklists accordingly, and they go question, answer, yes, go to step 5. So we're going to go through that based on their questions as well, and then do our own independent assessment.
I was going to say, I would want to confirm that their answers are correct.
Yes.
You know, before I wouldn't take their answers at face value necessarily. This has been an ongoing point of debate and discussion for maybe as long as I've been here, so it's a long time.
Generally, we would like to see the bylaws too, just to make sure to see how it was set up originally. Mm-hmm. So
we could get to.
The bylaws and the appointment of the board is really almost the first trigger.
The appointment of the board is wholly by the legislature. The whole board is appointed by the
whole
legislature.
Board.
The whole board.
Who can fire the board?
The legislature can dissolve them.
Yeah.
It almost passes a component unit right there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what entity are you?
Soil and water. Do you have experience of dealing with soil and water in other counties, and do you treat them as a component unit in other counties? Yeah.
Rockland, Westchester, Orange, and Putnam Roll.
I just would like to get this resolved, because I'm so tired about arguing over it. So I'm happy that we're actually, I'm happy that you're going to look at it closely, and if it is a component unit, it should be listed as such.
Yeah, sometimes they can pass all the tests, but if it becomes financially independent, you can go either way sometimes.
Okay.
Because, I can use the city of Peekskill as an example. They have an IDA, an LDC, and a BID, and only one of them is a component unit because two of them have very little financial activity, so there's no reason, for them to financial dependency. So they opt not to treat it as a component unit because it really has maybe $500 a year activity.
What's our funding line typically? Do you know? We fund them annually.
Over 90,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't get any funding from the city. It just happens to be they establish them for those items. But
in terms of soil and water, we can get you the historic funding.
And if
levels.
We get the bylaws, it would be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I just want to clarify on UTAS. So I was able to dig back, and this is going back to 2016, I think, when the issue occurred. So we had our tax exemption status revoked for failure to file 990. We alerted Department of Finance. They provided two options, which was to file the backdated 990s or to have the IRS recognize UTAS as a governmental unit. I don't know what the outcome was. Or I was under the assumption that they had been filing them. Maybe they should have been, designated as a governmental unit. I just want to make sure that whatever the case was, I don't think we ever got clarity on what it is, but I do have memos back and forth
we'll
from our department.
That would be great.
Back and forth. I just know that came up as our exemption status was revoked.
Well, the fact that it was a blended component unit shows says that you treated it like a government entity.
Yeah. Okay. So, and again, I don't know that we had clarity on how it, you know what I mean, how it laid out, but that was an issue in the past. So.
All right.
Okay. Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay. There's no... unfinished business. Okay. Compensation salary study, as required by the Ulster County Fair Pay and Salary Equity Policy, which was Resolution 26 of 2022. The deadline for proposals was this past Friday, May 5th, and 4 proposals were received. So just wanted to give that update to the committee. It was actually the committee that was tasked. It's the executive office that has sent out the proposals, but we did have a reconnect in terms of that RFP, just making sure that we had everything in there. So,
can give you a further update.
Sure.
So, we'll be meeting on May 15th, or thereabouts, and the proposals, the cheapest proposal exceeds the budget appropriation. So,
really?
Yes, it does.
By a lot.
By a quarter. So, that's without reviewing the rest of them, but that's where it's at. And then I needed a clarifying point, did you guys want somebody from this committee to sit on the RFP review? Or not?
Hmm.
You can get back to me as well. The question was posed to me today because
of... Yeah, I'm inclined to say yes, since it was this policy was established charging this committee to do it, so I think it wouldn't be a bad idea,
okay.
But I will reach out to you.
Okay.
Can you remind me what the budgeted line was?
It's in personnel, and it was like 100K.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it was 100.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right, great. And what can you remind me of the date that you just said?
I think it was May 15th, but I don't know that I'm going to be able to make that one, so they may push it.
Okay, so you'll keep us posted on that. And
yes.
Let me just ask, just initially, since we're at this table, is there anyone on this committee that would want to sit on that review? Don't all jump off the planes? No. Okay. All right. I will speak to you, Comptroller, but I'll get back and see if maybe Legislator Ronk, Bernardino Ronk, would be interested as well. So, and then I'll get back to you with the choice.
Okay.
Thank you. So at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it, and thank you for the presentation.
3:39.